Welcome back, guys, to another episode of Advanced Warfare. With me is, as always, Scott, fresh off of LVO. Had a tremendous LVO amongst the team and such. Scott, how's it going?
It's going good. Good. I am kind of glad to be done with Nephilim, but not at the same time, you know? I enjoyed that tournament set, that packet. So, but it's time to move on to bigger and better things, I guess, at this point.
Yeah,
so.
Arcs of Omen, which we will do a big old segment on, but it's going to take a bit. So we want to go over our LVO experiences first, and if we have time, we'll go over a little bit of Arcs of Omen, because they got, I mean, it is better, honestly. I really dig the detachment. But anyway, I'm getting sidetracked. LVO, Scott, let's start with you and do game one, a summary. We're going to go through six games because neither of us made the finals, which is okay. But go ahead, Scott. Why don't you start us off?
Yeah, so my game one, I played into... So I'll go through my list real quick. I was playing one of the big bad boogeymans coming into this event. I was playing Tissons with Flamers. I think I've gone over that list a couple times here, so not too much detail there. So I got paired into... Harlequins round one. On the hangar board, which is a fairly wide open board.
Yeah.
Which is not good for Harlequins. They didn't really have any places to hide. And if they charged at me, I had plenty of firing lanes at them. So we played through, I think top of three is kind of when we called it. So I went first, and I think I caught him off guard because he took a lot of... He took, like, no prisoners, his deadly performance. Or no, he took behind enemy lines and deadly performance. And then, like, I can't remember what the other one he took was. Banners, because this is Recover the Relics. So I took Banners, Warp Ritual, and Wrath of Magnus. So I didn't have to leave. I didn't have to cross midfield, and I could score 90s. I could score in the 90s and just outpace him in the game. And I don't think he realized that I wasn't going to play this super aggressive. And I just, turn one, I just moved out to the middle. Advanced my Terminators, got my Zangor Shaman within 6 inches of the center, cast Warp Ritual, put up my banners, cast enough stuff for Wrath of Magnus that he couldn't stop me, and got my, you know, got all my primaries, got everything. And then turn two, or his turn one, he kind of moved up to kind of stage himself to charge at me. So my turn two, I just moved my screens out to kind of block him off. And did my same thing again, got my max each turn for Warp Ritual and then Wrath of Magnus and Banners. And then turn bottom of two, he charged a 12-man Harlequin unit into me with the upgraded weapons. So he pumped him up to damage three. And I had -1 to hit on my unit, and he just bounced. He killed two Terminators. I think Matt said he should have killed four or five. But he went to kill the whole squad, which that's what he really needed to do. And, like, my clapback killed every single Harlequin and the character that he brought in.
Oh.
And his Troopmaster, he's Twilight, and his Troopmaster got out of the boat, charged into, like, five rubrics. He killed three of them, which meant he wasn't going to take the objective from me. So he fled back, got back in the boat. My next turn, I killed the boat that the Troopmaster was in, and then everything inside the boat, and I killed, like, another squad, another, like, 10-man squad. And at that point, like, he just couldn't catch up to me. He just didn't have enough that could get through the Terminators and all the rubrics and you know, and the Flamers and everything. So it's an awful matchup for Harlequins. But it's gone now, so that's good.
Yeah, I agree, because got the auto hits, and then their weakness is mortals. You can take a 5-up versus mortals and on the Shadow Seer, but that's it. It's an aura. So yep. You have to be castled. You don't want to be castled against Thousand Suns. So
And they're taking the, you know, and they bring a caster. So Wrath of Magnus opens up that secondary, which is a very powerful secondary for the T-Suns player, which is gone now in Arcs of Omen. So that's
thank God.
Yeah. Honestly, like, that secondary is really strong, but the bookkeeping on it is fucking annoying. Like,
yeah, I bet.
And honestly, like, I had to, like, I played, like, I'll get to it later on. I played a T-Suns player, and, like, he took that against me. And, like, you know, I was on him like a hawk, making sure he was keeping track of it properly. But yeah, so that was game one. I think I won 97-60, I think was the final, because, you know, I just stayed on my side and he stayed on his side, and I scored my maxed out everything that I could. So
yeah,
your round one.
My round one was against Bork and Tau. And this is a kind of an interesting list. It had some broadsides to it. It had, what's the other one?
It broadsides, crises, and riptides.
Yep.
Yeah, it was kind of a list that I guess I would have expected to see when Tau initially dropped.
Yeah, it had a big crisis squad. It had a cold star. It had a shaper, or whatever the fucking dude is.
The crude shaper, yeah.
Because the crude, no, not a crude shaper. The ethereal, Athrol. Sorry, ethereal. And then I mean, it was just I'm gonna shoot you dead. It had three squads of scroots, three squads of crude. And this game is kind of interesting. I went first, and honestly, with the way the terrain was, I did not want to go first. Because I have to get up and expose myself to get banners up, and that can be very detrimental. But I did get my buffs off. The big thing that I noticed in this list is that there was an error on my list, which I ate all tournament long, which was that my Cursed Earth was actually mutated Invigoration, which isn't that bad, but I have Cursed Earth for very specific matchups. This is one of them. Cursed Earth gives my possess a 4-up. That means that they don't have a 5-up involved with a 4-up involved, which is really nice. But anyway, so I exposed my possess turn 1 to get a banner up because you need to score points. And if I didn't put, I was only going to get one banner up, right? So I needed to get something going, or two, I should say. So I ended up getting all three banners up. But the problem was is that he had the knowledge of what was going to, you know, where I moved to, and he was able to kind of counter move me big time. He put his big crisis unit in the middle of me, and I just couldn't kill it. And I went over that with a couple of people, but I put turn two, I exposed all my noise marines because his entire army was exposed. So I tried to just pump damage into that crisis squad, because if I kill the crisis squad, he doesn't have much left. But I did do that, but it just didn't work out, man. He made 15 out of 15 4-ups on the shield drone saves and my Blastmasters. I even left out the point of the fact that I put in like 5 or 6 of the 2 damage weapons with Doom Sirens and Sonic weapons into that squad as well, which he saved. I think he lost one drone from all that, but every single Blastmaster save he made, which was the difference between that squad being crippled and that squad not being crippled. So that was a big bummer. There should have been like 3 suits left instead of all of them.
Given his experience with the 4-up save, he must be a Custodes player.
Right, and so I had to do something tricky to try and keep myself in the game, so I ended up charging them with a Noise Marine squad and just touching them on one side because he didn't have a regular commander for fallback and shoot, so he had to rely on doing the shoot into combat at -1 and then move from there. And I was able to kind of stop his damage, but the dice were just not with me this game, and that's okay. You know, I took 5 saves on my Noise Marines from Cyclic Ions, which are -2, and I'm in cover, so I'm in 3-up, because he's not ignoring cover, and I lost 4 out of the 5 Marines on 5 saves. So there's not a whole lot you can do when the dice go that weird. The other big thing that happened that I forgot to mention on turn 1 is that I lost all 10 possessed to the broadsides and the suit squad and a commander. That was it. I just did not roll any saves, and I didn't make any feel no pains. That's just the way the cookie crumbles. This game was just not my game, and Scott heard me complain about dice more, probably a lot of times, but
yeah, this is probably the most I've ever heard you complain about it.
But there, it's just I felt powerless, you know.
So. Yeah, and that happens sometimes. You know, it honestly does.
And the other thing I will say is that the terrain that we were on had a centerpiece of terrain. the I don't remember the name of it. The industrial, not the one with the hangar, but the one with the
It's the industrial set. There's the hangar set and there's the industrial set. So this is the one with like it has lopsided buildings on each side with like the smokestacks and all that shit, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's the industrial set, which
No,
is
I'm sorry. This is the one that has the two L's, the big square in the middle, and then two like ovals.
Oh, it's the urban or
Yeah,
whatever, right?
so the key thing about that is that everything got asterisks from the previous packet to the new packet. So everything had to be 6 inches away. So to be able to place my terrain, I had to have it was basically set or on the back of my deployment zone where it didn't do anything. And that was a problem for me. And because of that, my crate could only go in one spot, which was very detrimental for my possess, which is why I had to expose them turn one. Because my whole plan was to go into the center, warp ritual, be a threat to go to either side of his zone on recover the relics, and then use whatever possessed I have left to tear through his army and hopefully live. And it's okay if they don't. But my entire plan worked out with my bikes tearing through the right side of his army, and they kept me in that game. It was only like a 6 or 7 point game. I think if I pick a different secondary, because I pick War Patrol and losing the possessed turn one completely changed my game plan. If I do Psychic Interrogation and keep his characters away from me, I'm in a better shape, and I actually win that game regardless of the dice. So the point I was going to bring up is I did find a way that I could have won that game without dice. I just needed to pick a better secondary. But I will say that is with hindsight knowledge, and that I don't think going into that I would probably make that decision again just for how our armies are the same, or how our armies interact. The other portion about Borkin that was a little bit rough for me is that everything is strength minus one that shoots into him that's not strength eight. And the reason that matters so much is that I can't shoot my Blastmasters at their alternate profile without getting basically minus one to wound, and that was kind of a bummer. But I really needed the big shots to go through anyway because he had the big Crisis Squad, the broadsides, the million crude I could deal with other ways. He had the big, he had a Hammerhead, he had a Sky Ray, he had a big Commander. So, I miss anything, Scott, that you remember me talking about?
No, I think that's it, And I mean that's just some of the terrain stuff at LVO too. There's a little bit of luck there, you
Yep.
definitely didn't want to play Tau on that. That terrain definitely favored. There are some terrain sets that really favored Tau and some of them that really screwed Tau, so it's kind
Right.
of a
And
crapshoot.
Ever Shielding can do fine at the tower if the terrain's okay. But like just the terrain was fine if they just don't asterisk those even just two of those smaller buildings, you know?
Yeah,
But
so you can stack up and be able to block a little better and cut off some of the line of sights.
yep, I could cut off zero angles. He could step on that middle piece of terrain and see my whole army no matter where it was. So
Yeah.
that was a bummer. But, I took it in stride. I complained about dice for the rest of the weekend, so no big deal. But round two, Scott, let's go.
Yeah, so round two, I went into Black Legion. It was a Baden, 10 Terminators, 10 Possessed. The Black Rune was on the Terminators, and then he had 5 Havocs, three Obliterators, and like a Mauler Fiend. So it wasn't the most optimal list in the world, but it was still a decent list. He went. I think I went. No, he went first, which I don't know if he really wanted to. I was hitting pretty well, and then kind of some of the highlights is just I just was able to motor wounds him off the table in general. Like his 10 possessed charged in and tagged one of my Rubrik squads and killed the squad, but there's already another Rubrik squad standing on the objective, so I still held it. And then my A nine man, a five man flamer, and a nine man flamer squad, and a flamer squad of Rubriks moved into range of that possessed squad, and they picked up. And I did get Pyrrhic Flux, so I had plus one strength on the Rubrik flamers, but I picked up nine of them, and the other one ran away at the end. The other Terminator squad got mortals off the board. Abaddon just kind of took some hits here and there, and eventually I got him down. Probably the saddest play of the whole game was. He charged his Mauler Fiend into five flamers. I overwatched him and I did 13 wounds. He failed 9 of those saves, so it took 9 wounds. It was down to 3, and then it failed the charge. And oh, promptly died. No. Promptly died. It was like a 6-inch charge. I was like, oh no, I feel so bad for you, man.
Like, I put
those flamers out there like as a bait, you know, knowing they're gonna die. Like they're mm-hmm. there to die and like eat a charge from something. And then that happened, and it's just like, I'm sorry, man. Like that's game. Like, mm-hmm. like I have 5 flamers alive that I didn't think I was gonna have alive, and you're dead.
Yeah, and you're exposed.
Yeah, yeah. His whole army just kind of standing out there going, "Oh shit!" So, he was a fun opponent, great guy. You know, it's just I brought a stupid list in, and he did his list. It was a list like that game was lost in the list building creation, I believe, at that.
Yep.
To be honest, so. Your game 2.
My game 2 is against Drukhari, dear, and one of them probably a listener, hopefully, maybe. But it was a really, really fun game. But Emperor's Children into Drukhari, the codex difference there is a little bit too much for the Drukhari to make up. And I'm not trying to be mean, but it's just like I've got stratagems and ways to do damage that the Drukhari just can't avoid, like flamers that are damaged 2 again. Remember those liquefiers? And the fight burst everywhere on all my stuff makes it so that he can't trade as efficiently. And he's not sisters, right? He's a little bit more expensive than sisters with the incubi. If he had more stuff to trade with me, like sisters, like Repentia, like the incubi are decent. The witches are decent. But the problem is that they have zero way to deal with my possessed. And this is where mutated invigoration kind of came in my favor, because incubi, turns out, are strength 5, you know, and they don't like that too much.
They don't like T6 with a minus 1 to wound.
Well, no, they don't. So I just had I shoved my possess in the middle. I walked up the board. He couldn't stop them. It is what it is.
Yeah, it's just that's more or less like a dated codex that just hasn't, you know, it's paying the penance of what it did for a year. So GW is not buffing it in any way that they probably should be buffing it at this point. So
because
mm-hmm. they're just like, oh, we don't want it to be broken again. Well, have you seen everything? Right.
So, I mean, he did the right thing, pulled the stuff off the board, tried to tie up my possess with the grots, but the grots also just didn't have the strength for it. He didn't have a homunculus to make them stronger. And I don't think he needs it because, I mean, what do you gain from that? Not a whole lot.
Yeah, and I mean, to be completely honest, he was probably not expecting to run into you round 2 after a loss. But it happens, right?
Yep, it sure does.
All right. Round. Anything else on that game?
That would be it.
Okay.
For that game. I mean, it's just there's nothing tactically interesting about it. I'm sorry. That's just...
Yeah.
Matchup dependent.
Yep. So my round 3 was actually a mirror match. I played, I think his real name is Louis. He's from the Spanish WTC team, but he's like Texor, the El Rojo or something like that on BCP, which I don't think is his real name. He was okay as a player. You know, I've heard rumors about the Spanish team and those guys just kind of having issues at LVO in the past. So I had my guard up for this game. But he was also playing my army, so he didn't, you know, I knew he didn't really try anything, and I questioned a lot of the stuff he was trying to do. Mm-hmm. He had played the mirror quite a bit. I had played the mirror 0 times. I kind of thought about it a little bit in my head, but he picked better secondaries than I did going into. They probably, I wouldn't have taken Wrath of Magnus that he took. I would have taken, like, no prisoners instead, like I did, or, you know, instead of that. So,
there's a lot of denies, right? That's the problem.
Yeah, a lot of denies, and also I just have to match him. I don't have to beat him. I just have to cast as many as he does. So he got like a 10, but if he'd gone no prisoners, he probably would have got like an 11 or a 12 at that point. The one that he got me on was Mutate Landscape. That was probably better choice than Warp Ritual. I probably would have got a 9 or a 12 on that had I gone that route, because this is Data Scry with 6 objectives, and you get 3 points per objective, so... Mm-hmm. Possibly even a 15 if I'd really gone for it. And I probably should have taken Sorcerer Prowess. That was the other big one. That's where you kill a Psyker or a Psyker character, you get like 3 points for a psyker in the psychic phase. So we were murdering each other with like our mind bullets. So he definitely maxed that one. I did not max the equivalent to that one. So, and I lost by 14 points, but, I kind of like, after he picked his secondaries, I started looking, I'm like, oh shit, I'm like way behind the eight ball here on secondary game. He like, I kind of just clicked in my head, like what was going to happen. So, he had left his back side of his deployment open where I position like my Fate Skimmer, Aramon, where the closest visible target would be his Fate Skimmer, which was within 3 inches of like probably half of his army. And so I just did the cowabunga and went for it. I teleported my Aramon on foot with the crystal. I used the one CP strat to teleport Fate Skimmer. And then I used the auto pass teleport my Terminator squad in the psychic phase to be there for a bodyguard for them. And I got a 13. I got super lucky. I got a 13 on my Infernal Gateway with the Fate Skimmer. So it did flat 3 to everything. And then a Doombolt went off. And then Armon's, he used the 3d6 deny to deny my, I think it was a 10 to cast with Armon when he cast it. So if he hadn't, and he denied it with like an 11 or a 12 on 3d6. So it wasn't necessarily given that he was going to deny it, but it basically, if that went off, like he loses two more, he loses like another psyker, probably kills Armon at the same time because Armon only had like 2 wounds left at that point. Basically just devastates him and he doesn't have enough casts left to like make it a game. I knew I was behind the eight ball and I just kind of went for it. It made him turn his whole army around and have to go backwards at me. So I was actually dominating the primary for a bunch of the game. But he just had such a good secondary against me. I just couldn't do anything to stop his secondary game. And he had some tech in his list for the mirror. He had a couple Soul Reaper cannons in his list, which I didn't have any. So he had that AP3 one damage stuff where I just had AP2 one damage. So my AP was basically negated for the most part. So that was kind of the big stuff in the list. So in some of the list building choices. So going back, sure. I probably would put some Soul Reapers in my list just for that purpose alone.
Right.
So, but yeah, it was fun game. Lessons learned. I learned a lot about my list during that games too. So, cause seeing what he was doing with his versus what I was doing with mine. So
I'm going to take a moment to mention some stuff that people should know. So this guy is pretty cordial until he starts losing. And then he's an absolute monster to deal with. Like Aaron Along levels, you know, saying people didn't do actions, saying he rolled a 2 when he rolled a 5, just fighting on every curve, especially if going to time is meaning he's going to lose. He did this in the finals, and he literally broke down crying when he lost, sobbing, as the term I was using. And I just want to remind everybody, this is a game. This is not life or death. And to remain cordial even if you're losing. Like, I wasn't a jerk to my first round opponent because he was beating me, and I think I texted the chat at turn 3 or turn 4, and I was like, I'm losing this game. Like, I don't see a way out of this. I'm doing okay, but I'm losing this game.
Yeah, I remember that group text, you know. And that was like, you know, like I could tell I was probably going to lose the game. And it's like, I made that big play going like, we're either going to have a game with this big play or I'm going to be able to go back to the room early.
Right.
It turned out we had a game that took all 5 rounds. You know, I lost by 14, which is kind of, you know, where it just kind of falls apart at the end. You know, we've all had those games where it just kind of, you know, your plan starts to unravel as you get near the end.
Yep.
So, but yeah, I definitely, and like, I could tell where he was getting a little feisty at points when he, like when I first did that, because like, he had 5 spawns in his list and he sent them out at me and I smited all 5 of them dead or in Thornhills, like with my mortals. And I could tell he was getting pissy as those things were dying. Cause like, he thought they were going to live through my psychic phase. But, that came down to like, he had his Aramon tooled to be more of a buffer. And my Aramon was half buffer, half I'm going to blow your face off. And like my Exalted Sorcerer was like a total, like melt your face type guy. So like, if I did like the right Cabal points, Aramon could get three mortal wound spells, and so could my Exalted Sorcerer, and then the Fate Skimmer as well. So that's like 8 like smite type equivalent spells that I can get out just from three characters. So on top of everything else I could do. So it's like I don't think he under like he, I think he knew, but he didn't, you know, he never really felt like getting smited like that. And like in Thousand Suns, it's frustrating when you start taking mortals because you have zero defense against it unless you can deny. You know, and there's just a lot of things Thousand Suns can do to make it really hard to deny them, you know, the plus one to cast to all your casts and things like that. So
Yep.
yeah, but otherwise, I mean, it's a game. You know,
Yep.
I didn't sweat it too much. I was disappointed I lost, but you know, it's like I wasn't expecting to go undefeated, so you know, 5-1
You're
was my
disappointed
stretch.
you lost. Dude, I dropped my game round one. That was like,
I
yeah,
know,
it's
but
kind of
you know,
poopy.
yeah, well, we went out and had a good dinner, so
That's true. That is true. We had a good dinner the night before, too.
yes. Yep. So how was your game three? I can't remember who you
Game
played.
three, I played against Imperial Knights, and he had never played Emperor's Children. I explained everything to him, and then halfway through the game, he looked at me and he goes, "I was expecting you to throw hands at me, and you threw a lot of bullets at me, so."
Like you threw thunder hammers at me from 48 inches away.
Right. He played a good game. It was just he gave up too many secondaries, and the way this terrain was, this was a little bit favorable. Well, not really. I mean, he could step on the middle and shoot the crap out of me if he wanted to. But he took a paladin, and then he had a bunch of baby knights, and he had
Was he doing a thing where he could make him trans Hitman and transhuman
yep,
type
he did
stuff and
that.
four
He
pin
did
bonds
that.
all the time?
Fortunately, my demon prince has enough attacks where he doesn't care.
Yeah.
They don't, and he transhumaned him, but I've got full rerolls of wound. I think the big thing is that, like, my Blastmasters, four squads got to shoot all game into knights, and if that's the case, you are not going to win. It's just
No.
not going to happen. Like,
No,
I that's too much damage.
it's like letting a big crisis bomb shoot at you the whole game.
Right.
Just
I
bad
experienced
news.
that game one, and that was terrifying.
Yeah, I mean the shooting prowess in the game is impressive. Like it's
Right.
insane. I shouldn't say impressive, it's insane.
Sure is. So, I mean, it is. Excuse me. Knights are a fickle thing to play against because if they turn the tide later on, they could be pretty bad for you. But other than that, it's like, ugh.
Imperial Knights score their primary so well too.
Yep.
So you have to really race. You're trying to you're either built to be able to handle them and then but you also have to be able to stop their primary game because they just basically stand at objectives and do like a little, you know, oh, I got to honored or virtuous. I get 15 points. You know, that's what it feels like on one of their secondaries.
Well, it's 13, but yes.
Yes, well,
As long as
yeah.
you're gaining honor and you end with and you don't, and you're never dishonored, and if you end virtuous, you get the bonus point for
Yeah.
13. Because you get two if you're honored for every turn, and then two if you're or one extra if you're virtuous at the end of the game, because you get two at the end of the game for being honored.
Okay. Yeah, so you get 13. It's
Yep.
good. Yep.
Hush, puppy.
So end of day one, you know, obviously you know, with your goals at the event, you're 1-2 or 2-1, sorry, 2-1.
2-1.
You know, you're hoping to go, you know, your stretch goal is make Shadowrun, which that was obviously out of the cards after round one. So, but you're still feeling pretty good because you had your 5-1 goal still in reach, right?
Yep, I'm still feeling pretty good. Definitely the 5-1 reach. I mean, it's still a little bit sad at the same time because, you
But
know, I'm
you,
just like,
yeah,
aw.
and you still had a chance at best Chaos Space Marine still at this point. You needed Anthony Vanello to lose a game, but he had, I think he lost
He
one before.
hadn't yet.
Yeah, he hadn't yet. So, you know, and at the end of my day, I felt pretty good. You know, being 2-1, you know, 5-1 was my stretch goal, but I felt like my day one, I think I played probably my best day one at LVO ever, and that's I took Flyers like 3 years ago, so I went 3-0 day one. So I felt good about it. So.
Well, that's
Day two, who'd you play round one?
I gotta remember. Is this a Thousand Suns game? This is the Thousand Suns game. This is a
Yeah, I
tight
think it is,
game.
yeah.
So, Thousand Suns are really, really good. This guy didn't have flamers. He wanted to stay true. The best thing about this is that we were both 30K army themed. His Thousand Suns 30K, my Emperor's Children 30K. So pretty fun to see that hit the table. Something pretty, I mean, Wrath of Magnus is such a good secondary. He was just, he didn't get an auto 15, he got 13, but it was like he had to fail two maledictions to get a 13, and then everything else was just auto. So
Yep. Yeah, it's like it's pretty good or something.
I made a boo-boo this game, and I underestimated the mortal wound output that could hit my right flank, which was where I put 20 Noise Marines. So my idea was is that I put the possessed on the left side, I put my characters and the bikes in the middle, and then I put 20 Noise Marines, which 10 of which on foot, 10 in the Rhino on the right side, just so I could see wherever his he had two squads of Scarab Occults. Whichever one was going to engage me first. This is Abandoned Sanctuaries. I took banners because I wanted him to come to me. I couldn't do the game where he gets to just trade a unit off the middle, and then at the end of the game he just gets to hold everything because he's obsec everywhere with the Scarab Occults, who are incredibly hard to kill. So the big thing for me was like I didn't know when I'm picking secondaries and such that I'm going first, right? So I'm picking secondaries. I take that one, the banners. I take Assassinate because he has a bunch of characters and I want to keep them away from me, so he has to engage me with stuff. But I took the Assassinate so that his characters shouldn't come near me, and I've got the nasty Demon Prince who can just pick up anything. And then, obviously I have my Blastmasters. And then I don't remember his secondary, so I took Banners, Assassinate, and
I
Long
took
War.
Wrath, Warp Ritual, and against Uralis, probably maybe no prisoners, sort of.
Not sure,
Yeah,
but
something like that.
regardless, my plan ended up working out. I pulled up my Rhino on the right side to kind of cover the guys who put up the banner, and then which got out of the Rhino. And then I did embark another squad into it, but that was like not the biggest of deals. And then after I did that, he went and took the bait and shoved 10 Terminators in my face right away. But the big thing that I was assuming that my Rhino would live more than three smites. It did not. And then because of that, I ate all those AoE mortals, and then I got shot to pieces because they have all AP2, and a bunch of the Hellfire Racks or whatever you want to call it, a bunch of the Soul Reaper cannons. But then I still had stuff alive, so he had to charge me. And when he did that, he wiped me indefinitely. But I still had one lone Marine that he couldn't charge. That was way behind everything else because I pulled casualties to try and keep one alive, and luckily it did. It was a Blastmaster, of course. But that put his Terminators there, which did not get the 4-up embalm. The other ones did in the center, in charge range of my Demon Prince and my bikes. Yeah, my Demon Prince is hungry. You know what I'm saying? He's hungry. So I shoot what I can into him. I end up killing like two in shooting, and my Demon Prince makes the charge. My bikes make the charge. The reason the bikes making the charge is important is because I get on the objective with them. The Demon Prince can't go over the rune walls where there's a rune right on top of the objective. But the other part is that my possess stuck a 10-inch charge into his backline that turn with an Honor of the Prince. And it was devastating for him because I got like 10 rubrics, a character. I tied up his other squad of Terminators, and they weren't buffed to deal with me. So I'm T6 with minus one to wound because I was able to keep myself out of deny range. And
Yeah,
just
sixes.
that stopgap in the backfield, I think, saved my game for how close it was. Because later on, I didn't have the gas to deal with the Terminators and kill characters, so I was going to drop points somewhere. I'm sorry, I did not take Long War. I took no prisoners because he gave up a bunch of no prisoners.
Yeah, the T-Sons list tends to bleed no prisoners.
So we're going back and forth. He eventually clears the possess on his turn. Which is good for me because that means the Terminators are doing one less thing. But I got the Demon Prince. I kept the Demon Prince safer until turn five, and I'm glad I did because I kind of saw the writing on the wall that I was going to need him to pick up some late game points. Because with Abandoned Sanctuaries and the Scarab Occults going second, he's going to pick up a big turn five because of how that mission works. It's just 7 points for holding the middle on turn five, you know, at the end of your turn and at the end of the game. And then he's going to pick up his 12 on primary because there's no way I'm going to get through all these Scarab Occult Terminators. And, you know, he's doing damage to me, so I have to figure out a way to do it. And if we calculate the points, I could go for more points here, right? But the only thing that matters is that my Demon Prince makes its charge into a character and kills him. Because if it does that, there's zero chance. Maximum points he's scoring, I will win by 1 point. That's what we did. That's how we finished it out. It was an amazing game. Alex, if you're listening, it's a fantastic game. Very cordial as well. We had some big swings go both ways, you know, both you know, exclamating like, ah, geez, no. You know, it was a great game. Great game.
Nice. Those are the fun ones.
Yep, absolutely. But Scott, round four.
Yeah,
Or
my
round
round
five, I
four,
mean.
I played into Jasper. He was playing Ymir Votann. So he had 3x3 bikes, two Hecatons. I think he had three squads of Hrothgen warriors. He had the High Call. He had the caster, and then he had the champion, I think, or no, the Forge Master. No champion in this list. And then he had, I think it was nine Terminators, seven or nine. I think it was seven with the pickup and redeploy warp stick or whatever it's called. He left his Terminators in a spot where I could get visual on them if I advanced and moved my whole army up. So I did. I got first turn, so he couldn't move his bikes forward because it's abandoned sanctuary. So I was able to advance the Terminators and then, you know, teleport and redeploy them and move like my characters on discs and foot and got some good rolls and got everybody within 18 inches of those Terminators. And I killed all but one with some splashing around into the other guys, which didn't really do too much and splash into his like Hecatons a little bit. And then, that just kind of took out that threat for melee. So I was able to like, I moved my flamers up and they moved to the middle objectives and they kind of just stood on those middle objectives. I was kind of hoping he'd bring his bikes out. I think at one point in time he forgot to move one of his bike squads because it just stayed hidden. And then my flamers were able to just jump up and flame them after they didn't do anything for a whole turn. Yeah, the flamers into those bikes is actually a really, really devastating for those bikes. You know, it's. Because of armor contempt, they only get AP one into them, but it pushes them right to their invuln, so they get their five up save. They're T5, so you're wounding them on fours. You just put enough shots into them that they just don't survive that normally. A three man squad, especially the six mans, will get through it. And I was just able just to out trade him because he just couldn't like. The Hecatons are gonna do what they're gonna do. They're gonna pick up a couple of units, but like I just don't have like big vehicles that those Hecatons with the beams and the magna rails are really good into. I just have, you know, lots of infantry, which isn't normally what they want to shoot at. So, just in with my strats to turn damage two into damage one on my Rubrics, like he'd shoot a Hecaton with all those damage two bolters into him. Just couldn't get him down. So it was a fun game, but you know, mortal wounds, like he just doesn't really have anything that does well into the mortal wounds stuff. So no real defense. That fortify spell is nice, but it's only one unit. So,
So
and
my
then,
round five was an interesting round five. I played AdMech Swarm like I used to play. So I played against a bunch of Rangers, a bunch of Vanguards, one tank. He had no melee, which is and it, like I get it because the AdMech melee are just so far behind that it's just not worth it. And then all the characters that go with it. It was a great game, but my possess waded through Rangers because with, like I said, mutated invigoration, even moving up to a what is it, a five strength five with the buff after doing the action,
to
it
win
was
on the
just
sixth.
yeah, it was just not gonna happen, I don't think. And I think he was just more happy to be where he was at with Admech, and I would agree. Like,
That's a hell of an accomplishment, to be completely honest.
yeah, he was, I think we're 3-1 at this point. This would be 4-1. So, yeah, big time accomplishment. The key points about this is, like, I was able to line up shots with my Blastmasters to get at tanks. And then once he committed, I forgot how much a Ranger squad fully buff shoots because I haven't played them since they unnerfed them. And I gotta tell you, 80 shots with rerolling ones to hit, hitting on twos, that's real damage still. That is owie. Ouchtown,
Yeah, it's
population, my noise marines. Well, actually, it was my bikes, but.
like what, 60 shots, something like that? Or is it rapid fire too, so it's 80 or 40 or whatever?
It's
Or
rapid
is it?
fire 4, I believe. So
It's
2 to 4, I mean.
yeah. So at half range it's 4 shots each. So it's 80 bullets.
80 bullets, yep. So that was
Brutal.
eye-opening. But
It's like, oh,
worth
that's
it.
right. You have all the bullets, not just half of them,
Yeah,
all
I
of
used to play this, all the bullets. Jeez, this hurts. And then I was like, I forgot that they unnerfed the Vanguard strat, so he shot that on a 4-up into my possessed, and I was like, ah, that hurts. That hurts real good.
Yeah, it's just that's just like there's just so many bullets coming at you that there's nothing you can do.
Correct. Correct. But it was a really fun game. It was real casual, so that was a good time. Round 6, Scott.
Round five for me.
Oh, did I skip you?
No, we switched. We went into day two, so it's fine.
Okay.
My round five, I played Jeff Poole, who I know who Jeff Poole is because like I'm a little bit of an old school 40K guy. So Jeff Poole had made top like in his prime. Like I would say, I don't know if he's still at his prime. Maybe he'd probably say the same. He's technically taking it more casual. He made top eight with Craft World Eldar the year that Yanari was good. And then the Marine year he brought orcs and made top eight with orcs. So that was pretty incredible. He was the most chill, relaxed game I had all weekend. Just very, very fun. He was playing Emperor's Children. He was playing the Terminator Bomb with Abaddon version, which is extremely strong. I had first turn. I just didn't have a very good psychic phase, and I killed five Terminators, and I felt like I probably should have killed seven or so, seven or eight. Especially with like the shooting that came in afterwards, I should have, had him down to like two or three. So he was able to res one, so he had six, and he was just able to get those Terminators into me. It took me two turns too. It took me a turn too long to get rid of the Terminators, so I
Sure. And
wasn't able to
six is
get.
that magic number too, where they have whatchamacallit, all the power weapons up, the fists and the chain fists.
Yeah, and he had multi-meltas, or he had combi-meltas in there too. And so it's like, he was able to, he knocked my Terminators down to two guys. And he was able to tag into like one of my characters, which it was just unfortunate because then he was so, I couldn't move those characters and still do the psychic. So I just had a psychic and put a unit of Zangors out to screen off Abaddon for a turn. Well, I tried to finish off the Terminators and I killed his Demon Prince that turn too. But I killed his Demon. I took Sorcerer's Prowess and I killed his only Psyker character that I could get to with a shooting attack because he survived with one freaking mortal wound left. It's like, oh no. That would have been like a 5-point swing there and I lost that game by four. So,
Very close game then.
yeah, no, and it was a great game. Jeff was an amazing opponent. He was shooting Blastmasters into like this 5-man Rubik squad all day and like couldn't do any damage to him. Like they were just standing there going, all right, I don't feel anything. So it was a good time.
Sure.
But Jeff was a fantastic opponent. Really enjoyed playing him. So but yeah, at this point I'm 3-2, so still got the 4-2 goal in as a possibility, so just kind of working out that point. So
Sure.
round six for you.
Round 6 for me was pretty brutal. It was knights, which knights are, like I said, they're hit or miss, right? This one had two big knights and then a bunch of baby knights, three executioners, three trans hit guys. So how I attack this list is this is one of those ones where we played on the sisters board, which actually was kind of difficult for him to maneuver around. And I, it, yeah, it wasn't a fun board to play on, I should say, because just the amount of hiding you could do from either side was just not there. But it was fine. I did bring it down, obviously. I did banners because we're doing the
Scouring.
scouring, and I can at least get 10 on banners on scouring. And then I also did warp ritual, which I just from my I don't know how to call it my PTSD from round one. I just popped my warp ritual, which I got a zero in warp ritual round one, by the way. I just popped. Warp ritual right away, but then some like knights did knight things. I failed like, gosh, how many? I think it was four charges of five or less.
I watched that phase. It was like through a wall, like he couldn't shoot you or anything. You're just gonna like murder him.
Yep, and I failed the charge, and I did that with two squads. I finally made it in with a reroll with one squad. It was just not having it, and because of that he had a knight live, and then he got to make this this consolidation move, which denied me like primary, gave him 12 on primary, just a bunch of stuff that started to add up big time. Yeah, so it was getting real scary real quick, but I did just pull it off barely. He was a great opponent. It was just yeah, some just wacky dice happened, and that happens, that's part of the game.
Yeah, it was I got to see the end of that game and it was tight, it's like I kind of thought that was a game. If you were just put that game on paper, I would have put it in the Emperor's Children's favor 9 out of 10 times, so.
I mean, I still did win, but
Yep.
it was a tough go.
Just wasn't his yep, he made you work for it. So, kudos to him for doing that, so.
And it was just lots of strat usage in the proper times. Real solid dude to play against too. Nothing crazy. I did have a judge's call go against me, but my teammates think that I'm dumb, and I don't think I'm dumb, but whatever. I was under the understanding that when you consolidate, if you are based, you cannot move. And I guess this stratagem lets you move for armagers towards your opponent's deployment zone or ending in engagement range. The reason that matters is because I could have moved in such a fashion where he could not have moved, but I chose to stay in cover because I based him. I could have done both. So.
I tend to agree with your interpretation of it, not just because you're my teammate, but because I played the Unstoppable Destroyer back in the day, the old version of it, where you it just said in your instead of a consolidation, you can just consolidate in any direction, and I got a rule against me that if I since I was based, I could not consolidate my bike captain out, and that cost me a game. So, my round six, I played another Votann list. This one had 2 units of bikes and 2 units of berserkers. Really nice guy. He had two Sagittar things, the little transports. And he had the Einherjar champion and like the he had Uthar and he had like four characters. I'm not sure exactly how he got to the four. Maybe he had two patrols. The way this is on like one of the GW FLG ones where it has those two long brick wall thing pieces. And we were playing on the scouring, so I just across the middle I put two of those out. So there was a 4-inch gap in the middle that was the only spot he could see because those things are so tall, like my infantry could hide behind them, and I just sat there. And like with this 4-inch thing, I just plugged it up with like Zangor and Lightens. I just sat there, so like his bikes had to go through that. And he only had the berserkers for infantry for like combat, and like whatever he put in front of there that I could see just died like to mortals. at one point I did my little teleport trick again and put Aramon in the Fate Skimmer, and I killed Uthar, his Borkin master guy, and I think I knocked his Grimmish down like 2 wounds, so he was just running for his life with his characters. And then he got his Einar champion out, and his like Berserker's out, and he had to turn around and come back because I was at the very back edge of the board, so he had to turn around and come after those. He managed to barely kill the Terminators, and then the two characters murdered everything there in front of them. And at that point, I used my flamers to kill his bikes, and he was really scared of my flamers, so he really focused those hard, which was not a terrible play, but I was just using them to put him out of position and get his stuff exposed so I could kill it. Mm-hmm. And he just, like, that was the T-Sun's list just has so much stuff to trade, and the Votann list, you know, stuff is probably a little too expensive in there because they're just so elite. I mean, they're very, very deadly if they can see you, but, like, they're so elite. If you just start chipping away a couple of their units off, they just don't have the shit to, like, go do the mission stuff anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I was able... I had units that could just do the actions on the objectives and get my 3 extra primary points there. He never had units that could really do that. So, I think, you know, this is another one where, like, I think player placed terrain. Like, I knew what I was doing and what I wanted to do with my player placed. He didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't win the game in that part, but he definitely put himself on his back foot, you know, in that portion of the game. So, but gotcha. Yeah, it was a great game. You know, I finished 4-2, which was kind of my bottom end goal. I think I finished 147th. Which is down a little. Last year I finished 105th, but there was an extra 250 some players, so not the worst thing in the world.
Right.
You finished what, about 60?
62nd.
62nd. So at 5-1, I knew to get top 100, I'd have to go 5-1. But you know, overall, I was really pleased with my play. That was probably the most important thing. Is I just felt like I played well.
Mm-hmm.
The two people I lost to, I mean, I lost to a guy that plays on WTC regularly for his country, and then I lost to Jeff Poole, who's a fantastic player. So, I mean, I got my losses. I don't feel bad about them. You know, I took mm-hmm. care of business in the games I felt like I should have taken care of. Like, I didn't, you know, I feel like I go back and play those games. You know, there's things obviously I would do differently and obviously things that they would do differently. But, you know, I don't feel like... I didn't have one of those round where, you know, you and I have been working on where I'm just like, I went for it and I shouldn't have. You know, I didn't have one of those rounds. So
that's beautiful.
So that made me feel real good about my event overall. So.
Gotcha. You know, my impressions of it is obviously it's a big bummer to lose right away, but I you know, even in the LVO, sure, there might've been some stuff I could have done, but like, you know, I'm still happy with how I played. I still had a lot of fun with my friends. I still spent a bunch of money on food. So
we ate some good places, so that was good.
Yeah. And I'm still full from that, but...
Yeah. Yeah, it took me a couple... And then, like, we ended up hopping a flight out, like, Sunday afternoon. Neither of us played in the RTT, because I was just... You know, as much as I missed Nephilim, I didn't want to play 3 more games in Nephilim.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm with you there, and like, I just want to play other stuff.
Yeah, there's the list that we're working on now. You know, Marines seem to be the thing now. So
yes, they are.
Iron Hands, Raven Wing, Death Wing looks really good too. I don't know. It feels like you can just take your units, Marines, and, you know, throw them against the board, and they'll probably work. Except for Plasma Scepters, those are probably still dead now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
I agree. So, they're probably still really bad.
At 60 points a model, yep. You get a lot of stuff for 60 points, like almost a squad of Marines for one model.
Yep.
Yeah. So I mean, I guess now it's Nephilim's Arcs of Omen is the big thing now going forward. So, you know, what's your next big event, do you think?
I'm looking at Cherokee, but we'll see. Other than that, it's probably AdeptCon.
Yeah.
For teams. It'll be huge.
Yeah.
Good time.
Yeah, if it wasn't for teams, I don't think I'd be going to Adepticon, but
Well,
since I'm
you need
gone,
that
I'm gonna
20 on that display board, bruh.
I got a display board. Their rubric doesn't say that it has to match, so
I like
hey James, can I borrow your display board?
it. Oh, that was a good time. Good time.
Yeah, so I know the team side of Adepticon isn't the most competitive thing in the world, but I'm really excited for what we're going to do there. So, we're actually going on the hobby side a little bit. So that's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of
Yeah,
fun.
which is unusual.
Yes. Yes. But yeah, it'll be a good time. So,
Yeah, I'm excited.
I don't think I'm going to play any other events in between now and then. Maybe an RTT I may pick up, but we'll see. This is
I
normally
mean,
kind of my
I'm
after
obviously going
season
to practice
downtime.
some, but it is
Oh
what it
yeah.
is.
Oh, I'll be playing a ton of games. Like it just I won't be going to an event, I don't think. So this is kind of my downtime for events and kind of resettle with the wife and earn back some wife points so I can go travel again. Because June into the July is going to be busy because we're going to have the KC team event and then Bug Eater is like within a couple weeks after that, I think. And then a couple weeks after that again is the 3 day Show Me event. So
Ooh,
that's
three
going
days
to
show
this.
me. Ooh, love it.
It's going to Super Major. I don't want every event to go to Super Major, but I like that there's a Super Major that's like a 6 hour, 6.5, 7 hour drive from us that is run by a fantastic TO. So.
Yes, agreed. So, well,
Yeah.
that's gonna kind of wrap up our little LVO recap. If you guys want to check us out on the Patreon, we have extra episodes where we go over other stuff like faction focuses and a specific on Arcs of Omen and what that could mean for you. And then we also offer like personal coaching and stuff like that. If you guys want to check us out, it's www.patreon.com/AW40K. We also have a cool website where you can see our little bios, and then we'll have a web store there soon where you can buy swag, all that stuff. And then starting next month, guys, we're going to start doing these kind of live, and by kind of live, so we'll stream and we will have them be able to answer questions on the fly. And yeah, I think it's a really cool thing, and we hope you guys participate. It'd be a good time.
That mean I have to turn my camera on?
Yes, it does.
Okay, so I have to look appropriate. Okay. All right.
So,
Can't do this. I can't do these in my underwear anymore. That's what I just heard.
yep, correct. That's okay. All right, guys, that's gonna wrap it up. Scott, do you have any closing thoughts? All right,
Nope, not after that.
I kind of figured not. But thank you guys for listening, and we will catch you next time.